start the podcast. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the podcast. No, we didn't ignite it, but we tried to find it.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's jazzy career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. Last episode, we discussed Billy's acclaimed 1977 album, The Stranger. Now we'll discuss his equally acclaimed follow-up, the soundtrack to NBC's Bosom Buddies, starring Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari. When's this going to come out in box set?
I don't need you to worry for me.
They couldn't afford Billy.
They found the one person on our earth even whiter than Billy to sing this song.
They called him a sound-alike? Mm. He's not even a sound-alike.
No.
I don't care what you say.
Oh, those are some short shorts Tom Hanks is wearing. Tom Hanks and his Daisy Dukes.
Best friends.
Anyway, actually, the album in question is called 52nd Street, and it has considerably less cross-dressing, though it does have My Life on it.
52nd Street not being as good as The Stranger. I don't agree with that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Really?
Yes, I don't. I actually think 52nd Street is as good as The Stranger.
I should let listeners know that what I've done in this script is, or I dummied out, we're going to joke here about how 52nd Street is not nearly as good as The Stranger, and Meg is just, like, rebelling against the script straight off the bat.
I think it is as good. It won the Grammy for Best Album in 1978.
Oh, at the Grammys, they always have the best taste.
They do! They
totally
know
exactly
do.
What's going on.
Who was it that that won the Metal Album of the Year? Was it like Leonard Skinner or
Blue
something?
Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
They won that over Metallica's Master of Puppets. Or actually, maybe it was Injustice for All. But
well, the industry loves Billy, and so do I.
Okay. You're insane. This record is remarkable for a couple of reasons. First of all, it pioneers the whole trope of an artist having some commercial success and then suddenly saying, you know, I mean, I'm not even really a pop guy. I'm more of a jazz guy, really. I mean, like this pop thing that everybody knows me for now, I mean, that was just kind of a little excursion. I mean, it's like I'm really kind of a jazz guy.
You know, it's sort of like just the phase of, you know, everybody gets into photography at one point in their life. The same thing is like musicians all get into jazz at one point in their life.
I love that. That's a really astute observation. Whereas like The Stranger had, you know, 7 of 9 tracks were big hit singles. Mm. Okay. There's really only 3 hit singles on 52nd Street.
But those 3 hit singles are amazing.
We'll talk about that.
They are
okay.
So good.
So by that one measure, I mean it's like 52nd Street is a come down from The Stranger.
It was a come down
in terms of sales. And
I think it was it's more we start to see with The Stranger and we're at peak Billy here.
Mm.
We're at peak Billy. I'm not, you know, if you ask a true fan what their Billy Joel's favorite song is, it's going to be something most likely from this album.
What?
Yeah. I mean, what? Honesty.
Wow.
It's so good. It's all so good.
I actually found an interview. This is from 1982 where Billy Joel is looking back on The Stranger and 52nd Street as a unit. And I actually think this sort of what he's about to say kind of explains a lot about why 52nd Street won the Grammy and other things.
It took a long time. I got to tell you, it's not something that went, whoosh, you know, now it's the biggest album. The Stranger album was out for a long time. And we were doing a tour. And the tour was kind of getting, you know, going on and on and on. The album just caught up with the tour at the end of the tour. So we'd go on stage and we'd play and we'd go, don't go change. And the audience would go, yeah. And we didn't know what was going on. We said, gee, we must be doing this song better or something. We didn't even realize the song was becoming a hit song. And it took quite a while. It was about 1.5 years, 2 years for the album to really kind of have sold what it did. And then when the 52nd Street album came out, I think people thought I just threw it out right afterwards. I didn't. It was like at least 14 months after the Stranger album was made that we put it out. But what had happened was, because the Stranger was big, now there was this acceptance for 52nd Street and it just went, whoosh, shot right up.
So I think, you know, what that tells us is that the fact that 52nd Street won Album of the Year Grammy and not The Stranger is because basically the Grammys were just late to the party. It was
right,
sort of
a coattail sort of thing.
It was a posthumous award for The Stranger, really.
I could see that, but I still think 52nd Street is a solid album. It's got, you know, some great singles off of it. Even the B-sides are really good. You're looking at me like I've got 10 heads.
Well, we'll discuss this. But the problem here is that it's like there's now a place in the script further along that where you're going to rebel again.
I know.
And we'll just see what happens as we proceed to read. But anyway, going back to that there script there, Meg, this album came out on October the 13th, 1978. Meg, what else happened in 1978?
The Horse Affirmed won the Triple Crown, which caused Uncle Sal's across the tri-state area to lose their kneecaps.
The Copyright Act of 1976 went into effect, formalizing the doctrine of fair use under which we are, at this very moment, using copious amounts of copyrighted material without having obtained the rights.
The television show Dallas debuted on CBS, and for a few brief years, Larry Hagman was relevant without the benefit of having a bikini-clad blonde by his side. Well, one that didn't live in a bottle, at least.
Didn't have his Christie. Serial killers John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, and Son of Sam were all brought to justice, but serial appropriator Billy Joel remained at large. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
1978 was the year that Joel proved that he didn't suck.
The script as written, listeners, is 1978, the year that Joel proved he wasn't totally done sucking.
But I have integrity and I won't lie to you, podcast listeners.
1978, bit of a backslide year for Joel. Now, Meg, one of the fun things here is that we've gotten to the point where instead of just listening to the tracks, there's videos for us to watch.
Yeah.
Shall we watch the video for the first track on 52nd Street? Big Shot?
Yes, please.
Okay. Oh!
Yes!
How do we describe that to the listeners?
That's 1978 in all of its glory.
Wow. Handlebar mustache and big beret.
Everything has a sheen to it.
Yeah. Oh, he's sassing the camera, Joel is.
He's not taking any
sassing
of shit.
The camera.
He is done.
Oh, no. He's had enough of this.
He's had enough.
He's having enough of your shit, Brenda.
Out.
Brenda, he's had enough of your
Eddie,
shit.
Eddie, close your mouth. I'm going back to my mother's. He's so amped
check
up
out,
right now.
Check out Liberty DeVito is standing behind the drum set.
You know that they were all coked up.
How
like,
is
let's do a bunch of lines and shoot this video.
How do you play kick drum when you're standing? I don't get it.
Bass drum is on 2 and 4.
It's almost like he's not actually playing the song.
And he's up to the right, the upper right-hand corner of the screen, so he kind of looks like...
He's photobombing Joel.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Joel's good angel.
Okay. All right, let's talk about this stupid song.
Not stupid.
It's not stupid.
So good. So good. It's like 1978 in a time capsule. We've got so many great references.
To cocaine.
Halston, the designer, who was really big in the Studio 56 era.
They were all impressed by your Halston dress.
Halston dress.
I think I need to Google image search Halston dress.
His name was Roy Halston, and he was...
Halston dress.
He was the designer of 1970. Like Studio 54, he did a lot of stuff in Ultra Suede.
Okay, I get it now.
Liza Minnelli, Bianca
gotcha.
Jagger.
Okay. So I was going to ask, so clearly we would taxonomize this as one of Joel's disdain songs.
Right.
Obviously, obvs. And then I was going to ask, you know, do we think another one of Joel's disdainful songs written in the second person at an unnamed you? And I was going to ask, is this actually directed at himself? But I don't think that Billy Joel would wear a Halston dress.
No, I think this is
so
obviously...
So this is clearly Joel just hating on another woman.
Yep, it sounds to me like he's hating Elizabeth. He's airing his dirty laundry. Yeah, it's his hatred song, but it's really good.
My favorite part in this song is the moment where he decides to sing a line in the style of Count Chocula, which I don't really understand it as an artistic choice, but listen.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, you had to be a big shot.
See, I heard that as Sonny Corleone.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He's trying to be Sonny Corleone.
That's true, that's true.
And it sort of reminds me of, you know, when back when he moved from California and they were talking about how decadent and awful everything is going to be in California. New York is going to be totally different and a fresh start and blah. And it isn't.
No. It's also interesting to me that this is like, you know, 52nd Street is like, it's the jazz album, right?
And right.
We'll talk
he's
about,
holding a trumpet.
He's holding a trumpet.
He
okay.
can't play the trumpet.
Can we talk about the trumpet on the cover?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the cover is Billy Joel leaning against a grimy New York city street alley wall.
Back when the city was a city.
That's right, exactly. And he's holding a trumpet like, yeah, man, just taking a break in the middle of this gig.
Yep.
I got to rest my chops.
I got to rest him. I know how to play this trumpet.
So hold on a second. So there's in the like box set interview where Billy's in front of his boats, where he talks about that album cover is awesome. Hold on, let me find this.
Thing with grime all over the place. I mean, this is typical late 70s New York City. You know, Son of Sam was around. There was a lot of seedy stuff going on in New York at the time. We wanted to grab some of that. But it was kind of a funky, jazzy vibe at the time. And I never know what to do with my hands. You notice I'm always holding a pencil or I'm playing with something. So I said, give me the trumpet. And I stood outside with the trumpet trying to look like a jazz guy.
Okay, what that means is that someone was just standing around with the fucking trumpet. Like, what other miscellaneous...
What, me? Me? My trumpet? Okay, here you go, Billy.
What other miscellaneous items did they just have on the set of this photo shoot? You know, could he have called for a thermos? Like, give me the thermos, you know?
What's that giraffe doing over there?
That's right, give me a cantaloupe. Can I have a cantaloupe?
52nd Street, baby. Cantaloupes.
Or maybe just New York in the 70s, there was just trumpets everywhere.
Right.
You know?
You know, what couldn't you get? It's a lot of seedy stuff.
That's right.
I guess we should be glad he's not holding a heroin needle.
I don't know this song. But they're taking all the coal from the ground. And the union people crawled away.
Anywho. So it's the jazz album,
it's the
right?
Jazz album.
There's a funky jazzy
it's
scene
funky
going on,
album.
Right? You know, exactly.
He's got a jazz trumpeter on this album that he hasn't had before.
Mm. And yet, the opening track is this, like, you know, again, kind of guitar rocker, two lead guitars in harmony, Thin Lizzy kind of thing that really is presaging the next album, Glass Houses.
Yeah.
And in fact, I thought this song was on Glass Houses until I listened to 52nd Street last night to do this taping.
What aren't we learning doing this podcast? We're learning so many
so
things.
Much. So many things. Come on, back me up on this. It really feels like it belongs on Glass Houses, doesn't it, this song?
It does. It does. It maybe this album is more of a transitional album. But I still think that it's a solid album on its own, and it's got a lot of really great singles off of it.
Such as Honesty?
Such as Honesty, which is a great song. It's Billy's, again, all of his great ballads are odes to codependency. In this song, he's saying, tell me I'm crappy.
What?
Yeah. I was reading a critic's take on the song, and he pretty much said that is what this song is about. It's about Billy's need for someone in a relationship to tell him how awful he is. Don't just tell him how great he is. He won't believe you.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't
slow jam.
Couple skate.
You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give.
It's a good chorus, I'll give you that.
Yep.
Here it comes.
Also a reaction to the industry and how everyone's telling him how great he is.
Do we think this is directed at Elizabeth, though? Because I can't imagine that Elizabeth would have been really would have been a sycophant around him. She knew him from back in the old neighborhood. She did. She's like, I know who you are, Billy. Like, you're not fancy like these people. You're not fancy, you know?
Right. I do actually think that, I think it's directed to Elizabeth. I think a lot of his songs are directed to the woman he's with.
But I just don't see Elizabeth being the character in this song. Could this be at, like, some the floozies he's meeting on the road, maybe?
I don't think he would ask for ethical standards of floozies. Man, Liberty's in those drums.
Oh, yeah. Oh, talk about Liberty's drumming. Got to skip ahead to the last chorus, where Liberty is just like, okay, I'm taking control.
This is my band now,
Billy. I'm driving the bus. Check out Liberty on the last chorus. Big on the four, man.
Yeah.
It is a little odd that the little piano melody he does at the beginning is basically the Stranger melody, or at least the very beginning of it.
Mm. Now he's starting to be influenced by himself.
Well, that's how impressionable of a boy Billy is.
He's so impressionable.
He's so impressionable, he impressions himself.
I still belong. Don't get me wrong. You can speak your mind. But not on my time, damn it!
We want to acknowledge our first sponsor today, Ralph's Famous Italian Ices, with 80 locations across Long Island and the tri-state area. Ralph's Italian Ice, it's basically cold sugar.
Yeah, it's got sugar and it's cold. What do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want? Come on.
You want cream in it?
What? Come on.
Why you want cream in it?
Give it to the kids.
Once again, Italian desserts are not supposed to be good. Okay? They're supposed to make your teeth hurt while you think about grandma.
Right.
Okay? That is the function of the dessert. It's, shut up and eat it.
It's sort of Catholic self-flagellation. Like, this is supposed to be good, but wait, it isn't.
Exactly. It's great for First Communion.
Great for First Communion.
We want to thank Ralph's for their support of the show.
Thank you, Ralph's.
And now she's looking for her downtown man. That's what I am. So, thank you.
Meg, can we please consume my life in video form?
Yes, please.
This video.
Oh, it's so great. So I don't know why they had videos in the 70s, because it wasn't like MTV was...
Yeah, I don't know where these aired. But anyway, oh, God. So Liberty and Billy are in like the basketball court in the city, hanging out with like a switchblade knife and a cigarette and leather jacket. And I think my dad's in there stabbing a Puerto Rican kid.
Dr. Guzia, no!
And it's just like, oh, we got to get the gang together. We got a mission.
We got a mission.
They haven't said a word to each other. They haven't made eye contact. They just got each other in their peripherals.
They just know.
Oh, hey guys. Johnny and his sax hanging out on the stoop. Oh, man. They are off.
They're off to the subway. But if you watch this upcoming transition, Billy has gone to a street tough to like, hey, guys, where are you going without me? I'm wearing a suit now. What? Come on, you guys. What is happening? I think they switched directors there. Looks like Vaseline has been smeared on the camera because everything has this sort of haze.
That was the 70s, baby.
Now he gives them a stand-up routine in LA.
That's the next time around. Here it comes. There you go.
Did Do you think people at his concerts play air piano? They're like, bah, bah, bah! You know, some people play air guitar.
I don't know how you would tell that apart from jazz hands.
Right, sparkle fingers.
Sparkle fingers, yeah. This is a great song. I have to totally admit it. Yeah.
Yes, this is a great song.
But again, it's like Joel just... He just seems like a terrible person from his songs. Like, he's always hating on other people or telling other people, you don't understand me and you can't, you know. I mean, like...
And how great he is.
How great he is, yeah.
But how is that different than any other... Like, you look at any young man who is... In the music industry, you have that in rap, you have that in pop, you have that in this sort of like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, the braggadocio.
Yeah.
Well, we just saw, I mean, his youth as a street tough.
Right.
Definitely made him hard. He's hard.
Okay.
He's hanging out on those basketball courts.
He owns several leather
jackets. With saxophones, you know.
Nothing says tough like a sax.
It's right. You know, when you've got guys just like roaming the streets with unholstered saxophones.
Someone call the cops.
Okay.
This neighborhood isn't what it used to be.
Right. It's like, do you have an open carry license for that saxophone?
You can do some real damage.
You really can do some damage. That's a tenor sax, too. I mean, it's got some weight behind it.
It does.
Okay. Now, the baritone sax, if you pull that out, that's just automatic life in prison, right? It's like
right.
a machine gun.
It
you
is.
Know,
it's the AK-15 of...
Yeah. Is that a gun, the AK-15?
I think so.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Breakdown.
Hey, hey, hey.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life.
Listen. That always kind of cracked me up.
That rhythm?
Yeah, because it was, he gets so angry. It's my life.
And then it's. Yeah, exactly. The Beatles' backup vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did they use this as a theme song for Bosom Buddies? What does this have to do with the premise
because
of Bosom Buddies?
Because they were dressing up as ladies. And they were like, shut up, this is our life. The rent's cheap.
Don't judge me. That's what it was. Okay. All right, I think that's enough on that.
And if that's what you have in mind, well, that's what it's all about. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out. I'm moving out.
Well, the next track is going to take us into the, you know, the jazz portion of the program.
Indeed.
And it's another tune about how no one understands him and people need to get out of his business, right? Leave me alone and let me play my jazz guitar.
Right, right.
And it's a track called Zanzibar. Jazz chords.
Wearing my Halston dress and we're dancing.
The dances and the audience applauds. Though he's bathed in sweat, he hasn't lost the style. Oh. Allie, don't you go downtown. You gave away another round for free. Oh, me, I'm just another face at Zanzibar. But the waitress always serves a secret smile.
Secret smile.
Oh, waiting out in Shanty Town. She's gonna pull the curtains down for me.
Do you like this song?
I got the old man's car. I like that part.
Oh, the chorus?
I do.
I got a jazz guitar. I got a tab at Zanzibar. Tonight, it's where I'll be.
The chorus just goes nowhere. I do like that the image, because it seems like the kind of douchey character who would, pretentious character who is in this song would totally play at a place called Zanzibar. Like, that's, I like that. You like the chorus, you say?
I do like the chorus. I think he's mixing it up with you know, different melodies, and I like that. I like that he is innovating.
He's experimenting.
He's experimenting, and right? I like it.
He's growing up. He's spreading his wings a little.
You know, he's got a jazz guy on this song.
He does. Shall we fast forward to the jazz guy?
Let's do it.
Ooh, vibraphone.
I mean, this is a departure. You have to say it may not have come together all the way, but it's still.
Hey.
Jazz, jazz, jazz. And we're in a club, and we're smoking.
smoking. Jazz.
Communists. I'm thinking early 50s.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Red Terror, the Red Scare.
Yeah.
Tell the waitress I'll come back to Zanzibar. I'll be
I think that Billy I think he it gets he's too nostalgic. And that, I think, is his only flaw.
That is Joel's
only flaw.
The only one.
Yep, that's the only one he has, is he's a little nostalgic, but as we've seen, we've gone through his whole career, it's never been very good. His life has always been kind of crappy. So if you look back, you know, it's kind of like, Billy, you're lying to yourself. And that is your only flaw.
Yeah. The person
and I'm going to be honesty.
That's right. Yeah. The person he needs honesty from is himself.
Oh.
Oh my God. That's what that song is about.
Oh my God. We just cracked it wide open.
Since they told me I can't sell no stripers, well, and there's no luck in sword fishing here.
We want to thank our second sponsor today, the Shirley Aquarium in beautiful Shirley, Long Island. Their admission prices are so low, you'll say, surely you're kidding. But they're not.
Okay, so say you've got a cousin coming in town who maybe moved to Denver. And your Nona wants you to show her around the island.
Because
she hasn't been there in a while. Fine. You don't want to spend a lot of money because say you hate this cousin. Because she stole Joey DiNozzo from you. And also your first communion money.
Ugh. She did not do that.
So you take her to go see the Poseidon Adventure, whatever. But it turns out Joey DiNozzo's gay now. So I hope you're happy, Tina.
I lost the narrative arc in there somewhere.
That's okay. All you need to know is Joey DiNozzo's gay and Tina is a fat B word.
Oh!
Okay. I'm not lying to you. I'm sorry, Nona. It's the truth.
So thanks to the Shirley Aquarium for their support of the program.
I want you so bad. I think you ought to know that I intend to hold you for the longest time.
Well, now is the part of the program where we talk about deep cuts, which is basically the entire second half of this record is a bunch of songs that no one has freaking heard of.
Yeah, which Rosalind's Eyes is really good.
What?
It's about his mom.
Okay, let's listen to it. Man, he loved that Wurlitzer in the 70s.
Although the beginning of this does sound like a PBS intro.
Yeah, exactly. From WGBH, Boston.
Yeah. Welcome to All Science.
All Science.
I play nights in the Spanish part of town.
It's a slow groove.
So much faux Latin on this record.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
First the Count Chocula thing and now this.
I like this. It's sort of like a mellow groove.
Okay. Wait for the chorus. The chorus is just terrible.
Crazy Latin dancing solo down in Herald Square.
Not offensive at all.
I've been searching for you everywhere. Though I'll never be there, I know what I would see there. I could always find my Cuban skies and Rosalinda's eyes.
Again, All Science.
So this is about his mom, huh?
Yeah.
His
mom's name is Rosalinda.
Do we think that that's a coincidence?
Well, no, because he...
Because his mom was not a a spicy Latin señorita,
no,
as implied by this,
no,
this song.
No,
his
but
mom
she,
was a Jewish lady from England.
He did... So when he was growing up, his father had left. He was a classical pianist, and he left, and he went back to Austria. No, actually went to Cuba, I think. And he had to help support the family by playing these small club gigs. And so I think he's just... This is... There's this
You're stretching. You're trying.
No, no. I think it's this, like, just amalgamation of his childhood and having to play, you know, these small, weird clubs in different parts of town that maybe he wasn't so familiar with. And it was still kind of exotic and...
Flute solo.
Whoa.
They should have had him holding a flute on the cover of their
they
record.
All alone in a Puerto Rican band.
Not offensive at all.
Union wages, wedding clothes.
You were saying.
They haven't seen how good I am because he's still just a little baby Billy Joel working weddings and Quinces and Deras.
Yeah. And they just can't see past his single leather pants, you know?
They can't.
All right, what other stupid song off the back half of this album should we listen to?
Oh, gosh, let's see. Half a Mile Away is good, but it's very nostalgic and it's maybe not that good. So let's go with 52nd Street.
Okay.
Got some funk.
Jazz.
Oh, here comes the Ray Charles voice.
And Adam cringes into the corner.
They say it takes a lot to keep love alive.
He really does sound like Ray Charles, though.
Yeah, it's a respectable impression.
But if we shift the rhythm into overdrive, well, we could generate a lot of heat.
Ooh, double entendre.
52nd Street. Whoa, whoa. 52nd Street.
So something that we haven't really discussed much on our little program yet is the massive critical disdain for Joel.
Yeah.
In his own time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Critics hated him.
Absolutely hated him. Have always hated him.
Yep. Always hated him.
And yet this was like a critically acclaimed album. And I wonder if what that is again, just sort of a bunch of feeling an acclaim that was really meant for the stranger that was just kind of coming late and ended up landing on 52nd Street by default, or if it was because rock critics in the 70s and 80s and 90s and basically forever were pretentious assholes, and this is like the second half of this album is super pretentious, and so they finally liked it.
Right, because they all grew up listening to jazz, and they think of jazz as the only American art form, so if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna reference anything, make sure it's jazz if you
exactly.
want the critics to like you.
Yeah. I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Album of the year.
Album of the year.
Well, this is a short song.
It
that
is
was
short.
The end.
Yeah.
We didn't edit that at all.
Uh-oh, no.
Oh, Dougie Steggs with the popping of the bass there a little bit at the end. Oh, that
Dougie guy
has so much funk for our...
For a white
boy from the old neighborhood named Dougie. Yeah, actually, I have no idea if he called him Dougie.
We're gonna go with Dougie. Dougie. Although, you know, I think if I'm gonna mark when Billy starts being like really Billy, it's at when Liberty comes on.
2 and 4.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think we discussed this back on what was that? The Turnstiles album.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of classic period Joel.
Right.
And it's when Liberty and the boys in the band. Get in, and yes, it's when it really starts to sound like fully formed Joel.
Right, and when I'd like to see when Liberty leaves and what happens then.
That's a little album called River of Dreams.
Somebody did research in advance. You're not giving these fresh listens.
Damn it.
Somebody's overprepared. Not experiencing the Joel as it happens.
Oh. Such a Joel hole. Such a Joel hole, Brenda.
Listen, Eddie. I got a cousin. Uh-huh. I got a cousin named Tina.
Yeah? And what's she going to do? What's your cousin going to do?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, she's real fat and she's got a crush on you.
Watch your mouth or I might just run off with Tina, all right?
Tina hasn't run in a long time. I'm so awful.
Here we go. La, 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 la.
Time for a wife.
Or did I?
Talking with Davey, who's still in the Navy, and probably will be for life.
Power rankings.
Power rankings. Power time rankings. To update the Joel Power Rankings, where we are ranking all Billy Joel records from best to least best, or least worst to worst. And at the moment, The Stranger is clearly at number one.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Really? You're fine?
Yeah, I am
okay.
good with that.
I was afraid you were going to fight me on this.
No.
Okay. So then we have Turnstiles and Piano Man. What's that record there at number four presently?
Arturo!
Hold Stone Creamery and The Hassles Hour of the Wolf and Street Life Serenade, which I think is really unfair that we have that all the way at the bottom underneath that... Hour of the Wolf.
I'm sorry. That I don't like that album at all.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't sound like him. It just... Even he says it was hastily put together.
Oh, and 52nd Street was totally...
He said it was an 18-month period.
It wasn't an 18-month period.
Between The Stranger and the dropping of the album. The dropping of 52nd Street.
I think they were working on the cover that whole time.
Right.
He was practicing his trumpet holding.
Now, if I hold it like this, maybe it gives me more street cred. I don't know. Should I wear a hat? Maybe.
Okay, so where do you want to put 52nd Street in here?
Now I say 52nd Street is as good as The Stranger, but if we need to, like, I don't know, I'm gonna go with it being number two.
Okay,
I think it's better than Turnstiles.
I think,
but it's not as good as, you know.
I think 52nd Street is a big, big number two.
Do you think?
You see what I did there, Brenda?
I did. Oh, Eddie, you was too funny. So, do you think that Turnstiles is actually better than 52nd Street?
What's on Turnstiles again?
I can't even remember.
Oh, that's the one with "Say Goodbye to Hollywood."
Yeah. The Angry Young Man.
Angry Young Man and W.
And is it Gregory? Gregory, I'm sorry that you've got a job. Oh, Gregory. Gregory. I have groupies, you have taxes, Gregory.
That is the best rendition of that song ever.
You know?
Yes, that is the record with James on it. No, I'm comfortable with putting 52nd Street at number two.
Okay.
It's kind of a toss-up for me, but I would probably put it at number three, but we can split the difference and we'll call it number two.
Okay.
Big, big number two, that record is.
Poop jokes.
What do we got coming up next on the program?
Oh, we got a great album with great cover art. It took me a second. What are those things called? The pictures on the albums? Cover art. Nailed it. It's Glass Houses.
Oh, so cover art. Great tight jeans on Joel Booty cover art.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's wearing a satin jacket.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's got that switchblade print in the pocket where you can see it through.
Da-da-da-da. Jets. When you're a jet, you're a jet.
Oh, I'm so excited for this Glass Houses. It's the rocker.
It is. It's got it's still rock and roll to me.
Yeah.
You may be right, and don't ask me why.
So much rock.
So much rock.
Prepare to get rocked by Joel.
Have your face just straight rocked off. call the doctor.
Call the doctor.
Call the doctor. Let him know your face is gonna be rocked off. And does he have anything for that? Billy's Words of Wisdom from My Life. It's a great song. They tell you you can't sleep alone in a strange place.
Is that something that people say?
That's don't sleep alone in a strange place, Eddie.
I don't think that anyone actually says that. Because that just sort of goes without saying.
It's just one of those common sense things.
Yeah.
Then they'll tell you you can't sleep with somebody else. Ah, but sooner or later you sleep in your own space. Either way, it's okay. You wake up with yourself.
What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, it means it doesn't even matter. You got you.
This has been We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I still really do.
See you next time.
Bye. So let's talk Joel. Do you like glass houses? Do you hate glass houses? Do you think it's overrated? Do you think it's underrated? Let us know using the hashtag JoelHole.
Meg on the Twitter is at Donahue Meg. I'm at A Ragusea. This podcast that we're doing here, it's just for laughs, you know. It's not we're not bringing this to market, if you know what I'm saying.
We're not okay? looking for awards.
Not
we
looking
don't do
for,
this
awards.
For awards.
Yeah, we do it for the people. We do it for you.
For you.
For you.
And Joel.
Okay, and Joel. I don't do it for Joel. But we certainly aren't making any money with it, so please don't give us any trouble if you think that you've got us on some kind of legal something or other, because you don't. First of all, and secondly, there's no money to be had.
Yeah, some of our sponsors are real businesses, but they're not actually our sponsors. Mm-mm. It's a joke. They wouldn't give us money anyway, and we wouldn't take it from them.
We wouldn't.
We wouldn't.
We hate money.
We hate money. I mean, could just be sued out of us to listen to this podcast.
Let's not invite that, shall we? Now.